From London, we present A Play for Radio by Eddie Maguire. No Square Deal.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you don't look so worried. Something wrong?
Had a car knock on the way home.
Not an accident.
The engine knocked, Helen.
Oh, I don't know anything about engines.
No, you don't.
But it knocked.
All the way home.
Is that bad?
Shocking. It sounded like the anvil caught us on an oil drum. Any time now, we're going to have a big end going.
Oh. I see.
No, you don't. You don't even know what a big end is.
No, John, I don't. But if it's big and it's going and you're worried about it, then it must be pretty serious.
It's desperate. Poor old Genevieve's had it.
Well, I warned you. I told you you'd have nothing but trouble if you called it Genevieve.
I call her Genevieve because she was old, not because she was awkward.
Oh, now she's awkward.
Falling to bits.
Will the engine mend?
Yes.
Oh, then have it mended.
It would cost more than I paid for the car.
You mean it needs mending with a new one?
That's about it.
All right, so we need a new car.
All wrong. We also need the deposit. There isn't enough in the bank.
There's nothing in the bank.
Oh, at last we understand each other.
Perhaps Daddy will, though.
No.
Well, your father.
No.
Well, seem to have run out of fathers. Could we sell something?
Well, have we anything to sell that we've paid for and don't need?
No. Yes.
What?
Gran's old jewellery.
Oh, we can't flog that, Helen.
Why not? Gran left it to me, didn't she?
Well, I suppose so, but you know, I've always intended to have that reset for you.
Someday. When we can afford it.
When I can afford it.
And so it's been stuck in the dressing table drawer for the last 5 years.
Well, I'm sorry, but
I think it's high time we put it to good use. I'll make a bargain with you. Have my old jewellery reset or buy yourself a new car.
Well, you know I can't do either.
Then let's settle for one. The only thing we can do is to sell the jewellery and get your deposit.
It's not fair, Helen.
Oh, I'll let you take me out for a drive sometime. Oh, come on.
Thanks, Helen. You know, you're jolly good to me.
No, I just like you home early every night. Now, I think we ought to sell it to someone who specialises in antique jewellery.
And you know someone.
I've always thought there might be a rainy day.
And eyes pouring.
Exactly. There's a fairly regular dealer's item in the personal column. Oh, look, here it is. Come home, all is... Oh, no. Old jewellery, best prices paid. 23 Rowden Square, SW1.
Shall we go now?
Well, why not? Will Genevieve get us there?
Just about. If not, I'll kick her. Yeah, I'll just go and change then. Oh, tear the advert out of the paper, will you? Stick it in your handbag, sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Sounds a bit rough, doesn't she?
No different from usual.
Well, can't you hear that knocking?
No, just the rattles.
That's because you don't know what to listen for. Hey, what was the name of that place? Was it Rowden?
Oh, I think so. I'll just look in my bag.
No bother, I remember now. Yes, it was Rowden, all right. Well, this is it. We want number 23.
Oh, look, it's on the other side. 11, 13, 56. There's a car outside number 23.
Well, okay, we'll park opposite.
I'm beginning to feel all excited.
Don't start counting your chickens. I just hope we get a good price.
We won't. It may be old-fashioned, but some of it is antique. And the stones are much bigger than you get nowadays.
So long as they're big enough to raise a big deposit, that's all that worries me. Well, here goes, darling. Keep your fingers crossed. Who does the talking?
Oh, me, of course. My jewellery.
Yes, I know, but are you a good businesswoman?
Just you wait and see.
There's no answer. Perhaps the dealer's busy.
Look, the door's open. He may expect us to go straight in.
Maybe. I mean, it wouldn't be open otherwise.
Well, there may be an office inside.
Shouldn't think so, but there's no harm in looking. Come on. Hello, anyone at home?
Shh, we're not on a social call.
But what else could I shout? Shop?
Don't be silly.
Doesn't seem anyone about.
Oh, there must be. Oh, look, there you are. There's a light showing over there, underneath that door. That'll be his office.
Well, let's try it. And don't forget, we go in as if we don't really want to sell the stuff. We're just doing him a favour. Hmm. Oh, excuse us. We were just starting.
John!
Look!
There's a man's body.
Ooh, what a mess.
He's been... Oh, it's horrible.
Don't look, darling. Come on, I'll get you out of here. Well, steady now.
We can't leave him, John. He may still be
No, there. Not a chance. I'll come back and see what I can do, though. You go to the car and wait for me. I'll have to phone the police anyway.
Oh, no, John, I can't.
Yes,
I can't.
You can, darling. Now, off you go. I'll be as quick as I can.
I thought as much, Dent, as a doornail. A phone. Now, where? Oh, yes, in the hall. 9 9 9 Come on, quick.
But this is 834-1992. Someone must have broken in, you see, and I... What? Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yes. Yes, I want the police, please. Hurry, there's someone coming.
Put that phone down. Watch him, Fred.
Look, I'm only...
The phone, Fred. You heard what I said. Now, what are you doing here?
I came here to sell some jewelry.
Oh, who to?
The man who lives here. I haven't seen him yet. There was no one about when I came
then
in.
Then why didn't you go? And what were you doing with that phone?
Phone? I thought I'd phone my wife, you see, to ask her what I ought to do. There was no one here.
Well, you better call again tomorrow.
What?
There's no one here.
No. All right. Thanks. Good night.
Get him, Fred. There, that'll keep him quiet for an hour or two now. Come on, let's get out of here.
Oh. Well, Helen. Helen? Oh, in the car.
Hold on, where do you think you're going?
The police.
That's right, sir, we're the police.
Oh, thank goodness, come in. Come in, I was going to get you.
Then it's very convenient of us to call.
Yes. Right, now, how can I explain?
You've got blood on your hands, sir.
Blood? Oh, yes.
Well?
Blood. Yes, that's right. I must have got it off the man.
What man?
In there. He's dead. He's been murdered.
Oh, that's a surprise.
He was battered to death. That's why you're here, isn't it?
No, we know nothing about a murder, sir.
Well, then, for heaven's sake,
now,
you must get...
Now, hold on, sir. Take it easy. Someone phoned to say the house had been broken into.
Well, that was me, officer.
No, it was a lady operator.
Well, I was cut off. She must have passed on my message.
She said nothing about a murder.
Well, I hadn't got time to tell her. I was cut off.
And you say the body's in there?
Yes. On the floor. Near the desk.
Then we'd better take a look at it, hadn't we? There's no body in here.
There must be. But by the desk.
Can you see one, George?
Not a sign of one. What game's he on?
I'm going.
Stop him!
Now then, where do you think you're going?
I don't know. Look, I've told you the truth. I want to get away from here. I've had a crack on the head.
And you'll get another one if you start that caper. Murdered man in there, eh? That was just a trick to get us off guard while you made a run for it, wasn't it?
No.
All right, we've let you stall long enough. Now suppose you tell us why you broke in.
I didn't break in. And never mind about me. What about the dead man?
All in good time. Better search him, George.
Go on.
Hello, look what I found. Very pretty.
Oh, jewellery, eh? Where'd you get this little lot?
I came here to sell it.
Oh, I don't think.
I needed the money.
What? With all these in your pocket, sir? Just look at these banknotes.
Did you come to sell these as well?
They're not mine.
We can well believe that. Must be over 200 quid. And, of course, you've never seen it before.
No.
Then how do you suppose it got in your pocket?
I don't know. Unless the men put it there.
What men?
The two who hit me. They got away.
It seems that all the men around here got away. All except you. And you are coming with us.
But I'm telling you the truth. You see, I came to sell that jewelry. There was no answer. And so as the door was open, I came inside and there was a dead man in that room.
But there isn't one now. Anyway, why should you come here to sell jewelry?
I saw an advert in the paper.
Have you got the advert with you?
No, but my wife has. You can ask her. She'll vouch for everything I said. She was here with me.
Then where is she now?
I sent her away while I phoned for the police. She's waiting in a car across the road.
Then we can soon clear everything up, sir. Come along. Now, sir, you said she was in a car across the road.
It's gone. It's not there.
You're sure there was a car?
Look, I told you my wife was in it.
Sorry, sir. I think you'd better come along to the station.
What happened to my wife? Where is she?
George, you stay here. Keep an eye on the place. I'll take him in.
But you can't. I've got to find my wife. Sir, I want to take you down to the
station. Now, listen, sir. The inspector's on his way over, and he'll get to the truth. You can be sure of that.
I've told you the truth.
Perhaps you've missed something out. Now, what time did you say you called at the house?
About 9 o'clock.
Sure?
Of course I'm sure.
It was 10 o'clock when we picked you up. What had you been doing between 9 and 10?
Lying on the floor.
Waiting for us to come and arrest you, I suppose.
I was unconscious, I tell you. The men knocked me out.
Fancy. They would be the same men who got away.
Yes.
Perhaps the wife who wasn't there had driven them away in the car that wasn't parked across the road.
There was a wife, there was a car, and there were two men.
And you were the only one who saw them?
Yes.
While you were lying on the floor, unconscious?
Stop twisting everything. I don't know where I am now. Nothing I tell you seems to make sense anymore.
No. But I'm only trying to get to the truth. It looks as though I'll have to leave that to the inspector, but don't press your luck too far. He's an expert at sorting people out.
Come in.
You want to see me, Inspector?
I certainly do. Now, Constable, let's get this thing straight. This man you brought in, what's his name? John Groves.
Groves, yes.
You say you went to the house because of a phone call from the operator at the exchange?
Yes, sir.
Not from the man himself?
No, sir.
But the operator must have got the news of the break-in from someone.
I should think so, sir.
But you don't think it was from this man?
I think he was trying to cover up after we told him we'd had a call.
Why do you think that?
Well, he told so many lies, sir. Pretending he was there to sell jewellery, saying he had no money, but there was £200 in his pocket. Then he said he'd been knocked out by two men who got away and his wife was waiting in a car outside when she wasn't. And then that there'd been a murder in the next room. He sounded like a nutcase.
Then what do you suspect him of?
Well, we apprehended him on the premises, sir.
Robbery?
Yes, sir.
Well, I can tell you now that those banknotes are forgeries.
Oh. But there is the jewellery.
What about this murder?
Well, there was no body.
But the man had blood on his clothes. Where did he get it? How did you account for it?
We didn't, sir.
No? You left PC Harris to keep an eye on the house, didn't you?
That's right, sir.
Well, he's just phoned the sergeant. He's looked round that room again and found bloodstains on the floor and on a poker.
We didn't see any bloodstains when I was there.
Did you look?
No. Not when we saw there was no body. We just looked in from the door, and then he tried to run for
it. Ah, he was cleverer than you thought, eh? Have you any new ideas on how the blood got on his clothes?
From the body, sir, if he tried to move it?
Exactly. So it may still be there somewhere. I've sent a squad car round to make a thorough search of the house before I question Groves myself.
Good idea, sir.
Thank you, officer. Now, the man's wife, did you check up on her?
I didn't think that was necessary. I don't think he's got one.
Oh, yes, he has. He gave his address as a block of flats. I got the sergeant to phone the caretaker. He knows the Groves. They have a car. But it's not parked outside. And Mrs. Groves isn't in their flat.
Then where is she, sir?
That's what I want to know. What's happened to Mrs. Groves?
Cranberry Police Station, Sergeant Barnes speaking. Oh, hello, Mac. You found a car abandoned where? I see, that's just on the bypass, isn't it? Yes, I thought it was. Right, can you give me the number and description of it? Grey, old...
Excuse me.
Won't keep you a minute, miss. Of course I'm not, Mac. Your Twitter customer just came in and probably lost a poodle. Right, the car's grey, very old, I've got that. And the number? Yes, got that too. The make? Oh, that rings a bell. Just a minute, Mac. Yes, I thought so. There's a call out for it. Yes, from London. You better stay with it. I'll get back to you as quick as I can, yes? Bye, Mac. Now, young lady, what's your trouble?
Look, I've told you everything I know, Inspector. It sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened. I don't care anymore whether you believe me or not. I just want to know what's happened to my wife.
I was hoping you could tell us that.
Well, suppose those men saw her. Anything could have happened. They weren't playing, you know.
Well, why don't you do something?
We already have. We checked your home and she's not been back. We've alerted all squad cars to keep a lookout for her and the car.
Well, why haven't they found her? Where is she? Look, I told you she was waiting in the car when I phoned the police, and then I got this crack on the head.
Blood on your clothes, did you get it off the body?
Well, I've already told you I did.
Carrying it?
No. Seeing if it was still alive.
Suppose you'd put it in the boot of your car, gone back to the house, then accidentally knocked your head.
Look, this was no accident.
Your wife came in, couldn't bring you round, so she drove off in a panic.
My wife had nothing to do with it.
Then you know who had?
No, I don't.
All right, then. Suppose there wasn't a body, and we've not found one yet, even though we've searched the house. How would you account for the blood on your clothes?
Well, I've already told you.
You've not told me where your wife is, have you?
I don't know. I don't know where she... Look. You're not trying to suggest that
I'm not suggesting anything. I just want to know what's happened to your wife, Mr. Groves.
Good. Yes, that's what he's been waiting for. Yes, I'll let Inspector Peel know right away. Excuse me, Inspector, there's been a call about the car.
Just a minute.
Right, have they found it?
Yes, sir, abandoned in Surrey, about 30 miles away.
What about Mrs. Groves?
The car was empty.
Isn't there any news of her?
No, they only mentioned the car.
Then get an emergency call out right away. We want a thorough search all along the route from here to where the car was found. Her body may have been dumped.
Yes, sir.
Well, get on with it, man.
Yes, sir.
Right, Mr. Groves, we found your empty car.
Empty? Then where's my wife?
That's the $1,000 question. Now, suppose you tell me what's happened to her.
Sergeant, I want to know what's happened to my husband.
And my orders were to keep you here, Mrs. Groves.
Well, why couldn't I have gone with the police in the squad car?
Because it might be too dangerous. We're keeping you here because it might not. You might have made up the whole of this story of yours.
But it's true, every word of it. Do you think I'd be such a fool
now,
as to...
Now, just a minute, miss. You dashed in here in quite a state, saying you'd chased a car all the way from London. Now, that's over 30 miles.
I don't care how far it is.
You'd left your husband in an empty house. But then you saw two men come out carrying a body. They dumped it in a car, and you thought they'd kidnapped your husband. So you drove after them and traced them to an old farmhouse near here, right?
And then I came straight here and reported it.
Then why not settle down and wait for the result?
But you can't expect me to just sit here.
No, excuse me, miss. Sergeant Barnes speaking. What? Oh, the car found abandoned on the bypass, sir. Just a minute, Constable. The number was... XTY732.
Oh.
XTY732. That's all right. You're welcome.
Did you say XTY732? That's my car.
Hmm?
It stopped. I left it on the bypass and ran all the way here.
Why on earth didn't you tell me all this before?
You never asked me.
You never asked. You'll be pleased to know that half the police in Surrey are out searching the ditches for your body.
Well, I'm sorry, Sergeant.
You will be if you've been leading us up the garden. You'll land yourself in a load of trouble, you, my young lady. Now, Barnes speaking. What? Yes? Yes? Uh-huh. I've got that. Well, that lets her off the hook, doesn't it? Yes, she's still with me. Okay, I'll pass on what you've told me.
Was that from your squad car?
That's right. They've picked up your two men and they're bringing them in. They also found a corpse in the car.
Oh, no!
No, no, hold on. Your husband's not an elderly man with grey hair, is he?
No.
Then he's not the dead man.
Oh, thank heavens. Thank you, Sergeant.
That's all right, love. Now I know you weren't telling me a cock and bull story. I'm as glad as you are that your husband's okay.
Yes. But is he? Where is John?
Your husband? Still at the house. Or outside, wondering where you've hopped off to in his car.
He'll be worried stiff about me.
No more than you were about him. Now, I bet he thinks you did a good job chasing that car when he hears about it. I know I do.
I've got to let him know I'm all right. Would you try and phone him, please?
Hmm? Yes, if he's still in the house. Have you got the number?
It's 23 Rowden Square, SW1. Oh,
the telephone number.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, couldn't you try and trace it from the address?
Yes, I'll try. It may take a time to get through. Hello. Can you get me directory inquiries, please?
I'll bet he's dying to know where I am.
Your car's been found abandoned, Mr. Groves.
What about Helen?
I'm afraid she's still missing.
You still think I know where she is, don't you?
No. A cigarette, Mr. Groves?
Thank you.
And let me tell you, I'm just as concerned about her safety as you are. I'm sorry about the shock treatment, but I had to get as much of the truth as I could in the shortest possible time.
But I should be out looking for her.
We've never stopped, and we've got all the facilities. Now, you're needed here because you're the only one who can help us. There's still a lot of your story we're not sure about, so it's difficult to know what line to follow.
You must have some line.
Well, I'm satisfied that your wife either drove off on her own, or someone drove her away, someone other than yourself.
How do you know that?
Well, I've checked up again with a caretaker at your flats. He saw you and your wife leave together about 9:15. The police brought you in here about 10:00. Well, you couldn't possibly have driven 30 miles and got back to that house again in that time.
30 miles?
I'm afraid your car was found 30 miles away.
She'd never drive 30 miles. I mean, she's got no reason.
Well, then perhaps someone stole the car and she's perfectly safe somewhere.
Well, then why hasn't she got in touch with me? She'd be bound to.
Here? She's probably no idea where you are. But I've got a man stationed in your flat, just in case she phones. But she may be finding it difficult to get through to you.
Then you think she's all right?
Oh, we've no reason to think otherwise yet. We're doing all we can. And she may be doing the same.
I see. All right, thanks, Mr. Jenkins. I'm very sorry I've troubled you. That wasn't much help, was it, Mrs. Groves?
I couldn't tell what it was all about.
I got your number, okay, and I've been speaking to a Mr. Jenkins. He's an antique jewelry dealer.
That's him. That's the man we went to see.
But he said he's been entertaining friends all evening and he's had no callers.
But the house was empty.
It's full enough now. Your husband's not there.
And where is he?
Gone home, I expect.
Oh, he would not without me.
And he's most likely gone to the police and reported you and the car missing.
And what are we going to do?
Look, suppose I ring the nearest police station to Rowden Square and ask if he's called in. How's that?
Would you, Sergeant?
Oh, it's the least we can do, miss. After all the help you've been to us.
Thank you, Sergeant. If you do that, I think we'll be able to clear up everything fine. I'll tell Mr. Groves now. Good night. Well, Mr. Groves, we've found your wife.
Oh, what a relief. She's all right, isn't she?
Oh, she's fine from what I hear. So all your worries are nearly over.
Oh.
She's at Cranbury Police Station in Surrey.
In a police station?
It's a family failing. You both seem to be having quite an adventurous night.
Nightmare, you mean? Well, how on earth did she get into Surrey?
She drove there.
Well, why? She doesn't know anybody out there. What's she doing in a police station?
Well, while she's on her way here, we'll try and sort that one out. They're bringing her over in a police car.
She's under arrest as well.
Oh, far from it. She's been of great help to the police.
Well, then why can't they let her drive back on her own?
Oh, it wouldn't be polite. And anyway, she couldn't. She abandoned her car on the Cranbury bypass because a big end had gone.
After you, Mrs. Groves. Inspector Peel's expecting me, Constable. I'm Sergeant Barnes.
From Cranbury?
Yeah, that's right. I thought I'd bring Mrs. Groves along myself.
Oh, yes, I arrested her husband.
Arrested him? What for? Sergeant, you told me he was waiting for me. You never said anything about him being arrested.
That's all a mistake, Mrs. Groves.
It had better be.
It was just a mix-up. We'll soon sort it out. The inspector's waiting in there, Sergeant. Uh-huh. Just knock and go in.
Thank you.
Come in.
John!
Hello, darling. Oh.
What have I been doing to you?
What haven't they been doing?
Darling.
Good evening, Mrs. Groves. You've helped us and your husband more than you know.
Help me? Why did you drive off like that, Helen?
I was trying to help you.
You'd have helped me much more if you'd stayed. I wouldn't have been arrested.
They'd no right to arrest you.
Oh, we didn't know that then, Mrs. Groves.
Well, you know now, don't you? It was those two men, wasn't it, Sergeant?
Yes, Mrs. Groves, and it was you who tracked them down.
There, see, John?
Yes, I do, but after you'd finished playing detectives, at least you could have phoned.
Well, how could I? I didn't know where you were. I thought you were the body they dumped in the car.
And the police thought... I dumped your body out of the car.
Please, this is hardly the reunion I expected.
I'm sorry, John.
Oh, it was my fault, darling.
Sorry about the car,
but
too.
The big end. No, don't worry about that. I mean, what else could you expect, flogging it all that way like you did?
Oh, in my report, Inspector, I pointed out how fast she'd have to drive to keep up with the other car. And it was a pretty old car she was driving.
So, you'd expect to begin to go?
Oh, yes, sir. I think it's a fair case for compensation.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah.
When the public help the police, we don't like to see them lose by it.
But, Inspector,
Don't worry, Mr. Groves. We'll see that you get a replacement engine. We're not hard nuts, you know.
John, isn't that marvellous?
Is it honest?
Let me decide that. Now, I don't want to keep you any longer than necessary, but you're both key witnesses, so we'll need statements from you.
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry about your arrest, Mr. Groves, but you can see how the mistake was made now you know what really happened.
Not half.
The two men were forgers.
That's right, sir. There was a printing set up at the farmhouse where they were arrested.
Some forged banknotes were slipped into your pocket, Mr. Groves. It was a crude way of trying to incriminate you.
Well, it did for a time.
Who was the dead man?
He was a London fence. They made the counterfeit money. He passed it on and took all the risks.
But they killed him. Why?
Oh, after a quarrel, I expect. Their golden goose probably wasn't paying them enough.
And we barged in just after all this had happened.
It's lucky you did.
I don't see anything lucky in it.
For us, he means, Mrs. Groves.
Well, I'd say it was our bad luck to call at that house at all.
Yes, I must say that's what I can't understand. Why on earth did you go there in the first place?
We wanted to sell some jewellery.
But the dead man didn't deal in jewellery. What made you think he did?
We got his address from a newspaper advert in the personal column.
Yes.
I still got it in my handbag. Here.
Ah, thank you. Old jewellery, best prices given, 23 Rowden Square, SW1. Ah, yes, that's where you went wrong. This is squ, not st.
Eh?
I don't follow you.
Square, not street, Mr. Groves. To get into a square, you usually go in by a street of the same name, Sloane Street to Sloane Square.
Well, of course, Grosvenor Street to Grosvenor Square.
Yes. So you see, the house you called at was 23 Rowden Street, not 23 Rowden Square.
You mean we went to the wrong address?
Exactly. But if you hadn't, all this would never have happened to you. And we'd never have caught those criminals.
In fact, sir, you'd no business being there at all.
What? Now they tell us.
John Rollison and Pauline Yates played John and Helen Groves in No Square Deal by Eddie Maguire, which was produced by Martin Jenkins.